We come to the end of our series in Joshua. It's been an enjoyable one for me. I hope it has been for you. We're in chapter 24 this morning, where we find the last recorded speech of Joshua to his people, the nation of Israel. And it comes to us in the form of a covenant or treaty. It has all of the elements that a covenant would have. The scholars call it, this type of covenant, a sovereign vassal covenant. There is a sovereign one who is much higher. We've got some feedback going on there. I don't know if I'm standing in the wrong place or not, but there is a sovereign God who is greater than all, making a covenant with a vassal people, a people who are unable to meet the needs of a God, but he makes the covenant anyway. Now Joshua was preparing for the end of his life, and here in at least the last speech we have recorded, he's calling his people back to their covenant. He's having them reaffirm their covenant with God and challenging them to remain faithful. And as with many treaties and covenants, it begins with an explanation of the basis or the rationale for the agreement. And Tim presented that part last week. He did it well. The first half of the chapter is all about why one would want to agree with God to be his people. God had always been faithful, and Joshua reminded the people of their history with God. He had brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land, which was promised that this land will provide for you as long as you are faithful. He went before them to weaken their enemies. They had to show up and fight, but God went ahead of them and leveled the path to victory. And multiple times, God had reminded his people of his promise to be their God and the invitation to them to be his people. He provided more than enough miraculous evidence to illustrate his own faithfulness. There were generations of evidence that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. Now, from Joshua's perspective, there was no reason not to be loyal to Yahweh, the Lord. And we see it all through his book. Now, the people had begun to enjoy the bounty of the promised land that it had been promised to their ancestor, Abram. And here, the national heritage was coming to full fruit in their generation. This generation was reaping the full reward and benefits of all those who had gone before them and all that God had done for them. And as Tim reminded us last week, even we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. In one of these covenants, there are conditions laid out. There's criteria. There's something that we have to do to live up to the covenant. And so loyalty to God is defined here. And it says, fear the, we're about to read it. He says, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. I just want to remind you that when the Bible says to fear the Lord, it does not mean to be afraid of him. It means to come to him with reverence and awe as he deserves. Fear the Lord and remain faithful to him. And throw away all those other gods. Abandon all the gods that you've been dragging around for generations. Get rid of them. It seems that even at this point in their national history, they must have been dragging around remnants of gods from Egypt and from their ancestors and from this land that they had now filled, the land of the Amorites. Joshua told them, get rid of all of that. The Lord demands exclusive loyalty. So let's read Joshua 24, from verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed all those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we have traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end for you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. But now then, Joshua said, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak tree near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. So his challenge, Joshua's challenge to the people, his criteria for faithfulness were clear and simple. It is still clear and simple. You must choose today. Serve the Lord faithfully or serve some other gods. But if you're going to serve the Lord, you must get rid of all the other gods. You must exclusively be loyal to the Lord. And then we have those most memorable phrases straight from the heart of Joshua. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. He gives the people a choice. Now to Joshua, the choice is clear. There's only one good choice. But he tells them, make up your mind today. Whom will you serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose Yahweh. He was speaking for all of his family and I think all of his descendants. He believed that his faithfulness would be carried on by his family. We choose the Lord. Make no mistake about who we are or where our loyalties lie. We choose the Lord. And people, we don't have to be ashamed of that choice today. We can declare it. We don't have to do it in meanness. We don't have to beat each other over the head with it. But we should stand and boldly declare we serve the Lord. Now, it's Father's Day. Men, does your family know your real loyalties? Yes, they do. They know your real loyalties. They see your real loyalties. Children are very good observers. Not always good interpreters, but they are very good observers. they know where our loyalties lie. And I pray that our loyalties and our words line up. Are we leaving behind a legacy worth following? Is the evidence of our lives convincing to the next generation to follow the Lord? Now, the people of Israel gave the correct answer. How many times did we read it there? Yes, yes, we'll serve the Lord. We want to. He's our God. We will not forsake Him and go to other gods. They gave the right answers. We too will serve the Lord. And then what Joshua said to them next is astounding. It's alarming and it's true. Look at verse 19. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. Isn't that frightening? You are not able to serve the Lord. Israel never served the Lord faithfully and perfectly. They still have yet to do it. And we're the same. We do not serve the Lord as faithfully as we should because we're broken. We're corrupt. We still carry a sin nature. And just as Joshua said to his people, I know you, you're not able to do this. He would say to us, I know you. And yet God invites us anyway. And it is the very reason that He came in grace and in person as the person of Jesus of Nazareth to come to pay the debt for us because He knows that we are unable. We, in our own power, in our own goodness, if there is any, we are not able to honor Him as a holy God should be honored. And He came to extend His grace, to give us a way. That's why the Son of God, Jesus Christ, came to earth. The Apostle John was explaining this in his gospel, and he quoted some words from Jesus, and then he gave a little commentary on Jesus' words. He said, you see, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. We're corrupt. We need His grace. We also need to report for duty. We have to show up like Israel had to show up for the battles to take the land. We have to show up. But just as God paved the way for Israel, He paves the way for us. We know that He is our God and He goes before us and He is our rear guard. But we need to be in His will and in His ways. We need to show up with all the faithfulness we can muster. Every covenant has warnings or woes for the party who breaks it. And Joshua told his people, when you turn to other gods, the Lord will bring disaster on you. And if you know the scripture, you know that that's exactly what happened. Every covenant or treaty also has witnesses to verify the agreement. Joshua said, you're all witnesses against yourselves. You stand here today agreeing with me. You be witnesses amongst yourselves. And then he stood up a big stone, a memorial stone, as he had all the way through at various times when God was moving mightily and they set up a memorial. He does it again under this tree at Shechem. A big stone, and he says, this stone too is a witness. It's heard all the words. And it stands here under this tree at Shechem. Now that's historically significant. Abram had stopped there. His grandson Jacob had come through there and buried some statues of foreign gods under a tree at Shechem. You can read about it in Genesis 35. And even then, with Jacob, God said, I want you to go from here to Bethel, house of God, and I will clear the way for you. And it says he cleared his enemies before Jacob. And here God has done it again. And it's not coincidental that here they are under the oak trees at Shechem, reaffirming their covenant before the Lord. God's word is consistent. His ways are consistent. And he always does what he says he will do. The evidence has been clear now for millennia. Do you believe there is one Lord? The God Almighty who loves us and is steadfastly faithful. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he sent his son to redeem us because we are incapable of earning his favor? And I use Joshua's own question. Choose today whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord or serve yourself? Will you serve the Lord or serve some foreign god? You have the evidence. You have the record. And listen to me. If you fail to make a choice, you in fact did make a choice. By failing to act or choose, we are rejecting God. And when you know the story, when you have the evidence, you are responsible for your decision. Choose today whom you will serve. Since the coming of Jesus Christ, since his first coming, he is the way to salvation. He is the path to salvation. We must claim loyalty to him if we are to see the Father, if we are to know the Father. Jesus himself said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He came to show us what it looks like to live in covenant with God, and we need to follow him. We need to receive his grace and submit our loyalty to him. Do you need to do that today? Have you been putting it off? Have you neglected to make your choice and stand for Christ? I want to give you an opportunity today. Before we carry on with the family dedication, I want to give you an opportunity to declare your loyalty to Christ today. If you've not done it, then you need to stand before the church and say, "I want Jesus. I want to be loyal to him for the rest of my days." And if you can't do that in the midst of the church, where will you stand for Christ? I want to ask the music team to come on back up, and we're going to have an invitation song. It's not going to be long because we have some other good things to do, but I think we need to give you the opportunity to answer. If you haven't done it, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now, some of you have come prepared today to stand before the church and dedicate your children and your family to the Lord. And if you're part of that group, while we're singing here, you can go and collect your kids and get ready and kind of move up to these front pews. And then we'll carry on with that part of the service. And if you need to give your heart to Jesus today, would you please come? We want to pray with you and help you get started on the road. Let's sing. Stand, please.